You know, there are a lot of people who have trouble with the dark. Children are especially notorious for that kind of fear. Sometimes, I don't know, it's closets. Sometimes it's what's lurking under the bed. Sometimes, even we adults struggle with the darkness too. Maybe it's going by the auditorium late at night, wondering if the ghost preacher is giving a good sermon. Anyway, because the darkness is unknown, you know, it kind of disturbs us a bit. You know, it's not knowing what's there in the dark that can sometimes cause us a little anxiety or uncertainty, you know. Scientists have even found that if a person spends too much time in the dark, they can suffer with a condition they call the SAD syndrome. SAD is an acronym for seasonal affective disorder because it usually happens in a particular season, the winter, because there's less daylight, you know. And those who suffer from SAD often become moody, depressed. In other words, they become sad, you know. The truth is, though, life can get dark sometimes, and it can make us feel sad. But that darkness, you know, along with feeling sad, can create things like doubt and fear in our lives too. So when you think about all that, you think, well, what can we do? What can we do when life gets really hard and there doesn't seem to be any way out of the difficulties that we face, out of this darkness that we're facing? Well, as we continue our Learning, Loving, and Living Like Jesus sermon series, we're going to take a look at what Jesus did during the darkest time of his life and then talk about how we too can overcome the darkness in our lives. So go ahead and navigate your Bible over to our main text in Luke chapter 22. Use your physical paper Bibles or your handy-dandy app, whichever one you prefer. And I'd like to encourage you to follow along with me. And you can always keep this marked, but this will be our main text that we go back and forth to. Luke 22, starting in verse 39, we're going to read all the way down through verse 53. Luke 22, 39. There we're told that Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and a man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Now at the end of our text there in verse 53, Jesus is talking to those who've come to arrest him. And he says there, "This is your hour when darkness reigns." Now, the Greek that the NIV translates here as reigns is probably better translated as power as you see in some other translations. So possibly a better translation of that verse might read, "This is your hour, the power of darkness." Think about it. There is power in darkness, a power of uncertainty, a power of anxiety, a power of fear. And it's during those times of darkness that we might be trapped in something that we can't control. Even Jesus is caught up in it. Back in Luke 22 and verse 42, Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Think about it. Jesus was at a critical point in his life. He knew what was about to happen, and so he prayed to the Father to take it away. If it be his will to take it away. Well, thankfully for us, the Father didn't take it away. Instead, we're told in verses 43 and 44 that an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. In just a few hours, Jesus is going to be put on trial. Not once, not twice, but six different times. And Pilate is going to order that he be taken away and beaten by Roman soldiers. Most people die from that beating. Jesus did. Then Jesus will be forced to carry a heavy cross through the city all the way up to the hill to the place where he will be crucified on Calvary. You think you've had a bad day? And then there's the fact that he's going to be nailed to that cross there. And then that cross is going to be lifted up with him hanging and dropped into a hole into position. And there Jesus will hang by those nails for six long hours. And eventually, he'll die there. It's little wonder Jesus was in anguish when he prayed. "If there's any way for this cup to be taken from me," he prayed, "take it away." He was under intense stress, so much stress that his sweat was like drops of blood. Simply put, Jesus was facing an extremely intense crisis, an hour of darkness in his life. More than 1 hour, really. But you get the idea. That even he, as the Son of God, could not change. The thing is, how Jesus faced that crisis and how he deals with the darkness here that he simply couldn't change, only the Father could change it, tells us a lot about how we can deal with our own personal times of darkness. And so, rather than be afraid of the dark, I'd like for us to observe three things this morning that could help us to overcome the darkness. And the first thing that Jesus did to overcome the darkness is to remember that God is nearby. Take a look again at verses 40 and 46 in our text. There, verse 40 says, "On reaching the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you will not fall into temptation.'" And again down there in verse 46, he repeats that advice. He says, "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Now notice, Jesus is asking his disciples to pray. But who should they pray for? Did Jesus ask them to pray for him? No. He told them to pray for themselves so that they would not fall into temptation. You think, well, what kind of temptation would they be facing? Well, right about now, you know, they're tempted to feel that God has abandoned them. Think about it. You know, up to this point, this is the Messiah. Jesus is going to be the new king. This is good. But whoa, wait a second. This is all falling apart real fast from their perspective, right? They don't know what's going on. They feel abandoned. Think about it. You know, what do little kids do when they're in bed at night and they're afraid of the dark? You know, they don't think anyone's around, right?
Except maybe the monsters they can't see.
They think they're alone. And so they call out, "Mom, you know? Or maybe they sneak into mom and dad's room and somehow crawl into bed. And then you're there as mom or dad thinking, yeah, when did we get a cat? We didn't get a cat. That's little Billy, right? Anyway, as long as that child is with mom or dad, they're not afraid. I remember doing that. I remember crawling into my mom and dad's room and laying on the floor. And my mom got up and stepped on me. Anyway, so I learned then not to lay on the floor, you know? But that's because when the child is there, that adult represents power. It represents protection that even the dark can't overcome those unknown monsters in the closet. Mom or dad can take care of that, you know. But as we get older, and we become the adults, you know, and we come to face a time of darkness, you know, and we're faced with the reality that, yeah, we're the adults in the room now. And for some reason, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's pride or it's fear or something else. We think that, you know, we can handle it. We got it all under control because I'm the adult, you know. But the only thing that we've done is we've isolated ourselves from the one who could help us if we think we could do it on our own. What we've done is we've become alone. We've isolated ourselves. And that's the temptation that we face. The temptation to go it alone. Think about it as a kid again, you know, you turn to someone bigger and stronger and wiser than you, an adult, you know. But as an adult, who do you turn to? Sadly, we tend to forget that there is someone out there who is bigger and stronger and wiser than we are. Someone who is bigger than the darkness we face. Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 5 through 7, Paul encourages us through the Christians at Philippi, reminding them that the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord is near. Look again back at what he says. He says, don't be anxious about anything. And why not? Why shouldn't I get anxious? Because the Lord is near. And he's bigger than you are. He's stronger than you are. He's wiser than you are. And he's the one who wants to hold your hand when you become afraid, if you'll just reach out to him. Remember, he's promised to never leave you or forsake you. The thing is, if I forget that he's near, or if I don't even want to acknowledge he's near, then the power of darkness can overwhelm us. And sadly, it often does. And so I need to reach out and take hold of his hand, especially when life gets dark. But just how do we do that? How do we take hold of God's hand? Well, that brings us up to the second thing that Jesus did to overcome the darkness. And that is, he took hold of God's hand by praying. By praying. And so whenever we're faced with a situation that we can't handle, you take hold of God's hand through prayer. Think about it. Prayer isn't some abstract thing that some Christian does when there's nothing else to do. Prayer is actually faith in action. Prayer is the act of looking to God who answers prayer because you have the belief that God will act. Prayer is a declaration that God has the power to help me walk through the darkness, to overcome. Back in our main text there in verses 41 through 44, we're told that Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. Skipping out of verse 43, we're told an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, I think it's important for us to see that Jesus' prayer didn't change the outcome. Think about it. Here's the Son of God in prayer, And not once, not twice, but three times he's asking the Father that this cup be taken away, that he could be excused from the sufferings that were going to lead to his death, that he could be delivered from the curse of law and death that was about to come, that he'd be shielded from the wrath of God that he was about to bear on the cross, because in the cross he carried the sins of all mankind. The pain that Jesus was about to endure was not just the physical torture of the cross, but the mental and the spiritual torture that he'd have to endure because he was going to the cross as our substitute, to die for our sins. Remember, it was on the cross that Jesus bore the punishment for our sins, past, present, and future, for all time, for all mankind. And knowing the horror of what Jesus was about to go through was more than anyone would want to endure. And so Jesus prayed and prayed, but his prayer didn't change the outcome. Jesus still endured those trials. Jesus still endured the beatings. Jesus still endured the nails. And ultimately, the wrath of God upon the sin of all mankind. So you might say, well, Jesus, why did you even bother praying since God didn't answer you? Yes! Why bother, Jesus? Well, simply because prayer was taking hold of his Father's hand. It was how he was able to overcome the darkness of this time in his life. Think about it. When the test came, Jesus walked to the cross with courage. While his sleeping disciples, what did they do? They ran off. They ran off in despair. Oh no, Jesus is being crucified. Let's run. And they did. One even flew off without any clothes, for crying out loud. You see, it was through his praying that Jesus sought his Father's comfort and strength. And it came to him in the form of an angel who appeared to him and strengthened him, we're told. And so that angel didn't come there to rescue him and whisk him away. Didn't take Jesus away from his fate. That angel didn't come to rescue him from his sufferings and death. That angel came to strengthen him and to give him peace. Again, think back to the passage we quoted from Philippians 4, where Paul writes again in verses 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The point being, you know, whatever you feel, whenever you face, whenever you have to come up to those times of darkness, whenever there's darkness all around you, we need to make our requests known to God. And because we ask, God says that he will turn on the light to dispel the darkness in our lives. And I know that might be a little hard to understand. As a matter of fact, it might surpass all understanding, like Paul wrote. But when we make our request known to God, he promises to give us peace. Again, the first thing that can help us to overcome the darkness is to remember that God is nearby. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And the second thing is to take hold of his hand by praying. And the third thing is to believe. To believe that God has the power to help you to overcome the darkness. Again, back in our main text there in Luke 22, this time in verses 41 and 42, we're told that Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done." Now think about this. Out of the entire passage that we're looking at today, these are the only words that we have recorded of the prayer that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. That's it. What Jesus prays is a prayer of submission to the Father's will. But in that simple prayer of not my will, but yours be done, Jesus is saying, no, I don't like this plan. I really don't want to do this plan. But no matter what happens, I'll stick with the plan because I trust you will work in the plan. You see, when we follow God, we have to believe that He has a plan. And we might not like it, but that plan might be painful. It might be hard to understand. It might even be scary. But there is a plan. That all said, I think it's important to understand that the problems that we tend to experience in our lives aren't necessarily the result of God's plan, but maybe because of our own foolish choices, or the result of some mean spirit or thoughtless action of others. Either way, God says it doesn't matter. And that's because if we trust Him, then God will help us to overcome that darkness. And that's what Romans 8:28 is telling us when it says that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So you have to ask yourself, do I love God?
Yes.
Have you been called according to His purpose?
Yes.
Well, then God is telling you that all things will work together for good. That said again, God is not promising that all things are good. Doesn't say that, or all things are from God. That's not there either, okay? And God isn't even promising us here that things will end up being good for us personally, or even in our own lifetimes for anyone we know. But God is promising that good will ultimately result. Think about Jesus again. A lot of pain, a lot of agony, a lot of suffering. Was it good for Him? No. Was it good for you and me? Yeah. That's because God has a plan. And because we believe that God has a plan, then prayer gives us the power to walk through our dark times with confidence, no matter our personal outcome. Look back at the text again in Luke 22, this time down in verse 47 and following. After His prayer, you got that group of soldiers coming in with Judas leading the way, right? The man who'd betray Him wants to betray Him with a kiss. There's good old Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. And what does Jesus do? Well, He speaks kindly to Judas. Now, are you going to betray the Son of Man with a kiss, with a warm greeting of friendship? And then Jesus gently rebukes the soldiers. Are you coming after me like I'm a leader of a rebellion? You don't need to do that. And even when Peter cuts off the ear of the high priest Malchus, Jesus simply touches his ear and heals him. Just don't do that. Yeah. I'm good. God's in control. You could take. Jesus allows Himself to be taken away to suffer and die at the hands of evil men. Just how in the world could Jesus do that? How could Jesus so confidently walk to His torture and death? Well, again, it's because He trusted His Father to carry Him through the darkness, to trust in God's power and plan and not be afraid. And so Jesus willingly faced this time of darkness in His life to suffer, to die, and to be buried. He went through all of it, not for His own good, but for the good that ultimately came about, so that He could rise from the dead and conquer the grave and give us the good news. The good news that whoever believes and is baptized into Him are saved. We serve a God of hope and of light and of resurrection. And as Christians, we have a gift from God that this world can never understand or equal. We have the ability to walk through the darkness of this world with confidence because Jesus is the light of our lives. The thing is, you can't have that confidence and light until you first belong to Jesus. And to do that, the Bible tells us that you just need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your trust in him, to turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and then committing yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then when you rise up out of the water, well, you're born again, and you continue to live your new life for Christ now as a Christian until Jesus comes back again, or you go to be with him. Of course, for those of us who are already Christians, I'd like to encourage you to not be afraid of the dark, because Jesus overcame the darkness by remembering that God is nearby, and he took his hand in prayer, and he believed in God's power and his plan, and Jesus overcame, and we can too. And so if there's anyone here who has a need to come forward this morning, whether to share, to seek prayer, or to become a Christian for the very first time, and as always, you're encouraged to come forward now as together we stand and sing the song that Jeff has selected.